Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Some are familiar faces and then lots more are new faces, so it's good to see you. Like Meryl mentioned, I come from Cranbourne, so thanks everybody for dragging us out of bed early. We probably needed the boost anyway. So it was good. My husband and my daughter have come as well. So my husband's just up the back and my daughter, she's a little two-year-old. Yes, give God a clap, especially for our little baby who was a miracle baby. So we're really blessed to have her and we're hoping for many more. So when you remember us in your prayers that we'll have many more babies after this one. God is so good. But you know what? There was a prophecy over my life when I was younger, before I met Lambert. And this pastor said to me, you're going to be a mother of many children. And even then I knew there were some health complications. But now having one baby, sometimes I think back to that word and I think, God, do you know what you were saying? And then I look at my life and the life that I'm living and I'm thinking, he knows exactly what he's saying. Because I'm really blessed to – who has a pastor who throws you in ministry that you're not – you don't really think you're cut out for, but then you end up doing it and I'm sure you do, yes? Hands up if you got a pastor or a leader who has ever done that to you. Just put you in a ministry that you probably didn't think that you were suited for, but you did it anyway because that's what we do, yeah? Put your hands up if that's you. Yeah, we grow in those experiences, isn't it? So right now, because of my pastors and my leaders, I'm running a toddler's music group on a Friday morning. We're running a kids club on a Friday night, which has about 50, 60 kids in it. And then also I'm a prep teacher by day and I have 53 kids in my class. So God knew exactly what he was saying when he said that I was going to be a mother of many, many children. So, you know, he's not conventional. We know that. Our God is not conventional, but our God never lets one of his words fall by the wayside. Yeah. So just remember that if he's spoken a word over your life, even if at the moment it doesn't make sense, it'll come to pass. Nothing he says never does. Okay. All right, today we're going to talk about a word called resilience. Everyone say resilience. Resilience. Say it again, resilience. I can see some of the kids trying to say it and it's coming out as resilliness. No resilliness here, resilience. Everyone say resilience. Okay, resilience. Good. I heard some shouting from the little ones. That's good. Remember that word. It's very important. Now, resilience means to stick at something and to never give up till you reach your goal. Everyone say, to stick at something till you reach your goal. So today, that's what we're talking about. Now, I've got an example to tell you. The other day, I was eating Chewy in the car. Chewy's a good thing. It's yum. It freshens your breath, especially like this morning when you don't have time to brush your teeth. So you just chuck the Chewy gum in and freshen your mouth up. But then what do you do when you want to get rid of your Chewy? This is what Melody does. She puts her window down and she throws it out the window. Terrible, terrible. But this day, my Chewy gum, he flew out the window, but he didn't fly very far. He just went back maybe 5 centimetres and stuck to the window. So he's on the outside of the car, stuck to the window. And I thought, that's easy. I'll just get home and I'll get it off. Or maybe the rain will wash it off. Well, the rain didn't get rid of it. And then I tried to pick it off and it didn't work. I've washed the car twice since. Do you think that Chewy gum's moved? No, he's still stuck there. Now, that's what resilience is like, to stick at something. That Chewy gum knows exactly what he wants to do. He wants to be stuck to my car. He doesn't want to give up. I want him gone. I've tried everything. I've tried picking him off. I've tried washing him off. He doesn't want to move. He knows what his goal is. And that's what for us resilience is, to know what our goal is, or sometimes not even to know our goal, but just to know the direction that we're heading in and to stick at it and to never give up no matter what comes against us. Yes? There's a scripture that I want to teach you today. It comes from Hebrews 12 verse 3, which teaches us that Jesus and our God is a God of resilience, and that's what he wants us to develop in our life as a character quality. Hebrews 12 verse 3, it says, consider Jesus who endured such hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, this is what the Easter... I'm going to teach that verse to you in a minute, so don't freak out if you didn't get it. This is what the Easter message is all about. Jesus came. Can you imagine the God of the universe? Okay, just imagine for a minute that Jesus Christ is as big as St. Albans, the whole town. Yeah? Our God, that big, shrunk himself to the size of about an ant or even smaller to come and live on the earth. Can you imagine a God that big shrinking himself down? Such humility to come and live amongst people. Now, when he was alive on this earth, he was quite popular. He did miracles. People flocked to him. He was loved by a lot of people. But then the tides turned. I'm going to tell you more about it. And we know that Jesus was put through the worst beatings and betrayal. He was put through the worst things. People tried to get rid of him and his influence on this earth, but it didn't matter because he knew what his goal was. So we have Jesus Christ as our number one example of resilience. He stuck at what his goal was until he'd accomplished it. And even now, he's still alive to accomplish his goal. All right, so say with me. I'll say a bit. This is what we do in prep. I say a bit, then you say a bit, okay? So let's try it together. I'm sure you can remember your school days, how these things go. Okay, consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners so that you do not grow weary and lose heart.
Don't speak until I finish. Consider Jesus who endured such hostility.
Yeah, just keep together, shall we?
From sinners.
I'm going to do it one-handed. You're going to do it two-handed as we do it all together. So consider Jesus. One, two, three. Consider Jesus who endured such hostility from sinners so you will not grow weary and lose heart. All right. Now it comes from Hebrews 12, verse 3. All right. One more time all together and then you're going to do it by yourself. Okay. One, two, three. Consider Jesus who endured such hostility from sinners so you will not grow and... Oh, you're good. You're welcome to my classroom anytime. All right, Hebrews 12 verse 3. All right, by yourself. One, two, three. Hebrews. Oh, give yourself a clap. You did well. Okay, so today we're talking about resilience and sticking at your goal until you see it accomplished, okay? I've got a little video which the guys are going to get up there. This is called Bound, Bound, Bound and Rebound, and it's a cute little cartoon which will teach us a little bit about resilience no matter what life brings. We just bound, bound, bound and rebound. Are we good, guys? Cool. Yeah, I know you're real good. Enjoy.
Here's a story on how strange is life with its changes, and it happened not long ago. On a high mountain plain where the sagebrush arranges a playground south of the snow, lived a lamb with a coat of remarkable sheen. It would glint in the sunlight all sparkly and clean, such a source of great pride that it caused him to preen. And he'd break out in high step and dance. He would dance for his neighbors across the way. I must say that they found his dancing and handsome, for that also joined in the play. someday. Slope came a great American jackalope. This sage of the sage, this rare hair of hope, caused a pause and check out the lamb. Hey kid, why the mope?
Well, I used to be something all covered with fluff, and I'd dance in the sunlight and show off my stuff. Then they hauled me away in a manner quite rough and shared me and dumped me back here in the buff. And if that's not enough, now my friends all laugh at me because they think I look ridiculous, funny, and pink.
Pink? Pink? Well, what's wrong with pink? Seems you got a pink kink in your think. Doesn't matter what color, that gets nope. Be it pink, purple, or heliotrope. Now, sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. When you find that you're down, well, just look around. You still got a body, good legs and fine feet. Get your head in the right place and hey, you're complete. Now, as for the dancing, you can do more. You can reach great heights. In fact, you can soar. You just get a leg up and you slap it on down, and you'll find you're up in what's called a bound, bound, bound and rebound, bound, and you're up right next to the sky. And I think you can do it if you give it a try. First get a leg up, slap it on down. And they'd haul him away, and they'd shave him and dump him all naked and bare. He learned to live with it. He didn't care. He just bound, bound, bound and rebound. Now in this world of ups and downs, so nice to know there are jackalopes around.
So in our life, there's not really jackalopes around to come and give us a boost, but we do have Jesus Christ, who we consider, who has been through every single obstacle that could ever come and face us. He's been there, he's done it before, he's paved the way, and he says, if I can do it, you can do it. And he never calls us to anything that we can't handle ourselves. Now, you know, that sheep learned a couple of things. First of all, at the start of the movie, he's quite proud of himself. He would bound, bound, bound and rebound. And he was really proud of his suit and his jacket and his wool and the way that he looked really good. And then when he lost that, he lost his ability to be cheerful and joyful and to bound and rebound and, you know, and just to stick at what he was supposed to be doing, which was enjoying life. Because he actually put too much stock on what he looked like and what his abilities are. And I think sometimes that's what we tend to do too. You know, we might be good at maths, or we might be good at our job, or we might be raising really good kids, or we might be good looking by God's grace. And then one day something changes and we're not able to have all these things anymore. And does that stop the joy that's inside? That's the question. I mean, the answer is no, or hopefully no, but to be honest, that's the question, is it? Isn't it? The thing is, if it does stop our joy, and if it does stop us from bounding and bounding and bounding and rebounding and just being resilient and getting on with life joyfully as we did before, then maybe we had a bit of pride in that area. Maybe we were putting too much stock on that area. And I think that's what that little sheepy learned too, that he was He was joyful and happy before, but his pride had never been tested. And then when all that, you know, he enjoyed about himself, when all that was gone, all of a sudden he was quite ashamed and he didn't know what to do and he didn't have the joy anymore. So I think that's the thing. We need to remember that all that we have, you know what it tells us in James? Say after me, everything good comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights. So everything that we have in our life actually comes down from God, our Father. Everything we have in life, our beauty, our abilities, our athletic abilities. I don't know if you're able to run, and that's what I really like doing. I like going out for a jog every now and then. And that's one of the things that I enjoy about myself and the way that God has made me. Your children, they're gifts to you from God. Your job is a gift to you from God. Your abilities in all your different areas, they're gifts to you from God. When we lose those things, that's okay. Because the word of God also tells us when something is taken away from us, God gives. God gives and he takes away. He opens doors. He closes doors. God is the one who leads us through life. Plus, he's no man's debtor. If something's taken from our life, he always replaces it with something that ends up being better. So that's one thing that the sheepy learned. Another thing that the sheepy learned was, okay, if your friends turn on you, it's not the end of the world, but it happens. It happens for silly reasons. Even our Jesus Christ had that happen. Let's have a look at his life, okay? He was on this earth for how many years, everybody? 33 years, isn't it? You got to think. Okay, random moments, you know, when you're thinking. I was in the shower the other day and I was just having a shower and all of a sudden it hit me. Jesus was on this earth for 33 years. You don't really hear much of him until he was 30, isn't it? Like 30 years, what do you do? I'm turning 33. That's the end of my life according to how many years Jesus was on the earth. Like, isn't that incredible? And I feel like that, I don't know, I feel like I've only lived just a fraction of what I'm supposed to live. But that's all he had, 33 years. The first 30 years, he was just spending it with his family, you know, wasn't doing a whole lot of ministry. And it was the last 3 years where he fully went into ministry. But that's besides the point. When he was in ministry for those last 3 years, like I said, he was a very popular guy, yes? He went around preaching messages. He had thousands of people flocking to him. In the Bible, it tells us that at one time he fed 5,000, another time he fed 7,000. Can you imagine? No speakers, no amplifiers, nothing. He just got up on a hillside and he was speaking and thousands of people came to hear him preaching. He was a popular man. He couldn't go into a town, he had to go into towns quietly because if the word got out that he was coming, the roads would be flocked and he would be trying to get through all the crowds to get to where he needed to go. There were times too when he nearly got crushed by crowds. And his disciples had to, you know, do the bodyguard thing and quickly gangster style him out. There were other times too where he had to get on a boat and get off the shore so he could speak to the people because they were just crowding and flocking in. Everyone wanted to touch him and be with him. You know what? Even a week before he was crucified, there was a time, everyone say Palm Sunday. Does anyone know what Palm Sunday happened? What happened on Palm Sunday, I should say? Yeah, I'll say yes, quietly. That's right, we do. When he went into Jerusalem, people were waving branches, people put him on a donkey, people put cloaks down on the road and they got him to walk through the town and they were talking of making him king. They wanted to make Jesus king. So he was at the peak of his popularity. Now you look at Jesus. His personality didn't change the whole time he was on this earth, did it? He didn't. You know how some people, when they get a bit more attention or when things get going good, they get more vocal and more outgoing? And Jesus wasn't like that. He was humble. He was the same all the way. No matter the amount of attention or the amount of people that were there with him, he was the same because he knew what his goal was. His goal was to bring us back to him. That's why he was on this earth. He didn't really care about the popularity because he knew that, yeah, he's on this earth and he's meeting face-to-face one generation of people, but that's not his one particular goal. His goal went beyond that one generation that he was there on the earth with to encompass all the future generations and all the past generations. So it wasn't just about those people he was meeting face to face. He had a bigger goal. Now, as I said, Palm Sunday, everyone was talking of making him king. And he knew that what he was doing was good, blessing all these people and healing everybody, but he was quiet about it. He wasn't like our sheep there, yeah? The sheep who was just going about like quite fancy and prancy and happy about himself. Jesus just quietly went about doing what he was doing. Now, I remember one time when I was in school, grade six, we had this honor roll system and you can get merit, credit, and then the top one you can get is like a principal's distinction. And if you get the principal's distinction, you get taken to Food Star on like the following afternoon for lunch and you just get to eat whatever you want. I was pretty excited about that because I had tried for 3 years to get on the principal's honor roll and this year I made it. So I was sitting there at the end of the term on the floor with the teacher up the front. It was like one of the couple of last days of school right in the last week. And the teacher said, all right, share something that you really enjoyed this year. And so I put up my hand. I said, I made it to the principal's honor roll. Woohoo! And the teacher just looked at me like, that's something that you should keep private. You know, you don't need to wave your achievements in front of everyone. I was kind of put in my place, but I thought, they're right. Like, I worked hard, but I shouldn't go waving around my accomplishments in front of everybody. That's really something that's quite private, if you know what I mean. And I think for us, it's the same thing. Our accomplishments, the world doesn't need to know them. The people that need to know. And maybe our family need to know. And it's good that you feel good about it. But it's not a matter of, you don't need to wave your achievements in front of everybody as a matter of pride. And Jesus never did that. He was just quiet about what he did. Just knowing that he was called to do that, he would do it quietly. You know, 1 week after that Palm Sunday, everything turned around for him. Does anyone know how many good friends Jesus had? How many friends were with him all the time? 12, that's right. 12 of his friends were with him all the time. All right, have a think about your immediate family and your closest friends. You could probably count 12 people who were like maybe your husband, your kids, two or three close friends. You've probably got about 12 people that you're quite close with. Can you imagine one of them doing what Judas did to Jesus? Selling him for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine one of your children doing that to you? Or one of your good school friends doing that to you? That's what Jesus had. One of his closest selling him for 30 pieces of silver. So Judas sold his whereabouts so that his enemies could come and get him. And soldiers came to arrest him, as we know, and dragged him to court. They put him there before a judge and he was tried for crimes that he didn't even do. People lied about him. You know, you see on the video those little hamsters laughing at the sheep. Well, people on the earth did much worse things to Jesus. They lied about him. They beat him. They dragged him before a court. All these people that just a week ago, 7 weeks ago, 7 days ago, were saying, we want to make him king. We want to make him king. Now they're dragging him before a judge and lying about him in order to get him killed. Like they knew what they were on about. They knew why they were doing it. He was beaten up and he had cuts and bruises and sore. My daughter calls like any tiny little bruise on her body, she calls a sore sore. She's like, oh, sore sore, mummy, sore sore, mummy. They're tiny little things, a sore sore. He had sore sores all over his body because of the things that they put him through. And then to top it all off, he was killed. We know that remember on Good Friday, isn't it? We remember on Good Friday that Jesus Christ was killed. And it's a sad day, but only in part, because we know he was killed on our behalf so that we don't have to suffer the same death that he did or the separation from God. Lambert, could you come up here and help me out with this? Message of Easter is a simple one, but a pretty complex one too, isn't it? Because we know that it focuses all about this, yeah? Jesus dying on the cross. You're going to have your work cut out for you doing all these things. So that's Jesus' cross right in the middle there. He was crucified. Can you imagine, yeah? Can you imagine being made to carry massive planks of wood up a hill and then nails driven through your hands and your feet and then left to die there as you hang? And the only way you can get your breath is to, you know, pull yourself up by these nails. It just sounds incredibly terrible, painful, and like you wouldn't ever want your worst enemy even to go through that. And then on either side he had criminals, real criminals, people who had actually done things wrong, were also being crucified. And there was an innocent man, the man God, who was sent, you know, to come and rescue these people, and now these people were just destroying him and beating him. And he knew he'd done nothing wrong, but besides that, he was completely engulfed with love for these people who were destroying him, and for them to do that. And then they, you know, used a dagger. You don't have to stick that one up, you can just hold it. Used a dagger to stick it into the side to make sure that he was dead, and then got dice. Of all the things that they could do to make fun of him, they just got dice and had a little bet. And then took his clothes. You know, just little silly things like that that they did to bring shame on Jesus Christ. Now you're going to take it all back off again. You're such a good man. All right, now, if you can put sticky on every single piece, that would be great. And I want you to make it work. Okay. Now, Jesus did it for a reason.
Now, Jesus did it for a reason, because he knew, yeah, that he knew us as people, we're born into a world of sin. It tells us that, yeah? It tells us in the Bible that we were born with the seed of sin inside of us. You don't have to teach kids how to be silly and how to be naughty. Like, it just happens. I see it. I see my beautiful little preppies. They come at the age of five, and they're so innocent and they're so beautiful and they just want to please you. And still then, though, there's like foolishness and there's silliness that comes into their minds and their hearts. But you see, when they get maybe at about age, in grade one, you can just see that their mind is starting to change and they get a little bit more deceptive. They're still sweet and everything, but you don't have to teach them how to do that. You don't have to teach them how to chuck tanties. This I know. Yeah, so the Bible tells us that we all have the seed of sin inside of us. And that separates us from God. But what Jesus did is he knew that each one of us, because of the own decisions that we've made and because of that seed of sin that we have, we are headed to hell. We are headed away from him. All right, let's see how you go, hon. Yeah, good job. And he didn't want that to happen because he loved us so much that he came down to earth to destroy that, to destroy our future in hell. Do you want to be a little bit faster or no? He's trying. All right, so here we go. This is one thing I do love about my husband. He's very particular. He does everything properly. All right, read that word to me. Hell, exactly right. So Jesus came because he knew that each one of us were, there you go, pop that one in the middle, that each one of us was on our way to hell, but He came with the goal in his mind. He knew it didn't matter what people said about him, didn't matter what people did to him. You know, he was even in the garden praying and he said to God, God, if there's another way, if I don't have to do this, please take it away from me. You know, sometimes it might be nice to think that Jesus knew what was going to happen. He was prepared. And he had the mental strength to be able to go in there and just do it. But I don't think he did. I think that his humanness, when he was there in the garden, he said, God, if you can take this away from me, take it away from me. He knew that it was going to be painful and he knew the struggle that was right ahead of him. And yet he went and he did it anyway. And you know what? Life is tough. Kids, life is tough. And guess what? Tough is good. Tough is good. Tough makes you strong. You know what my dad's philosophy was when I was a kid? I was scared of dogs. So guess what I got for my birthday? A dog. I was scared of horses and I hated riding horses. So guess what was my next birthday present? A horse ride. No, I didn't get a horse. But a horse ride. And I didn't get any choice because my dad's philosophy was, you know what, if there's something in your life that you can't overcome, face it. Don't run away from it. And that's what Jesus did. He humbled himself and he said, God, if there is another way, I know this is going to be tough, but if I have to go through it, I will go through it. And he went through it. Parents, I want you to remember this too. Don't make things easy for your kids. Life is not easy. They need to learn how to do the dishes. They need to learn how to be obedient. If you have to spank them every now and then, spank them. It's good for them. Trust me, I was spanked when I was a kid, okay? I turn out okay. Lambert was spanked when he was a kid. He turned out all right too. But you know what? As a teacher, I read a lot of different articles on the education environment around there. And you know the latest things, you probably would have heard it too, but the latest things are individualized learning programs, that's all good, but making classrooms applicable to each child and not, don't give them work that's too hard, just kind of support them in their learning. Find out what they're interested in and support them in that. And I think that's a load of rot because when they finish school and they go have to go out and get a job, do you think their boss is going to ask them, what do you like to do? What do you feel you want to do? How can we support you in your growth in this company? No, that they don't do that. They ask them to do a job. Sometimes it's beyond their abilities and they've got to learn and develop and grow those abilities. So please, parents, challenge your kids. With a spirit of love, challenge your kids, give them challenges so they develop resilience. And you know what? Life is tough, but often I found as a kid, the toughest challenges were the ones my parents put in front of me, like being obedient to them or, you know, paying my own way to youth when I only had a couple of bucks in my wallet and I wanted to keep it for myself. Obedience, following their instructions. I had to be resilient in that and it gave me skills and character qualities that I have now. So please, parents, make sure your children work hard and teach them resilience through challenges. And also at school, no, I probably won't say that. My attitude towards boys, if one of them punches someone else, I'm just like, I didn't see it. You sort it out between yourselves, you know. I don't want them coming back to me all the time and saying, this one did this and this one did that and expecting me to sort it out. I think they need to learn to sort it out themselves. Again, give them a bit of resilience so they can build up the strength. And Jesus Christ did that. He went through everything. He went through his friends betraying him. He went through people making fun of him, people lying about him. He went through the toughest physical abuses and emotional abuses ever. But he came out on the other side. He went even to the point of death. But we know you can't kill God. Everyone say, you can't kill God. We know that that's not the end of the story. You can't kill God. Easter, yes, he was crucified. But we know after that, you can't kill God. After 3 days, he rose again on the other side victorious, taking the keys of death and hell so that we can be free when we believe in him and have him Lord in our life. This is another thing I want you to remember. Don't just be a church person. You know, a Christian isn't someone who believes in Jesus. A Christian is someone who has Jesus as Lord. in their life. Every day, Jesus as Lord in your life. So please remember that, you know. Jesus Christ, he did an amazing thing, giving us grace by dying so that we didn't have to die. And now he's made a way for us to live in his freedom. But we don't live in his freedom just by saying it, or just by coming to church, or even just by reading our word and prayer. We live by having him as Lord in our life. And again, that is something that we need to do through resilience, making sure we develop good character qualities, making sure that we live habitually in the word of God and in prayer. And we, you know, every time we are faced with something in the word of God that we know that we're not doing in our life, we say, okay, I've got to deal with this. I've got to make sure that my character is number one, my integrity before God is number one, and that I'm developing as he wants me to develop. Yeah? So today, as I said, we're talking about resilience and considering Jesus who went through everything, because that goal in his mind was he wanted to join us with him. He wanted didn't want there to be any separation between God and his beautiful creation, us. So that heart of love. You know what, guys, kids even? Okay, if you've got a test or something like that, you've got a goal in front of you to work towards. So use resilience to get to that goal. But sometimes in life, we don't even know exactly what we're headed for. Doesn't matter. You know what the Word of God tells us? It says, just put one foot in front of the other and he will make your steps secure. Okay? You know what you're headed for. You want to have Jesus number one as Lord in your life. You want to be the best wife or husband or parent or child that you possibly can be. And you want to live according to God's words. Those goals are enough. Just one step after another. Make sure every day you're making the right decisions to live that way, yeah? All right, so let's go through our memory verse one more time. And then we've got a song to do. We've got a bit of time, yeah. Let's do our memory verse. Consider Jesus. Very good. All right. Now, if learning memory verses and memorizing scripture is foreign to you, that's one thing that you'll need to start doing. All right. My preppies, by the end of the year, 12 months, they've learned at least one chapter, normally two chapters of the Bible that they can go from start to finish. Okay. So every year they do that. And I encourage you to get a couple of memory verses, ones that are really important to you. Memorize them so the Word of God can be alive and active in your life, all right? Now, if you can show us, I've got another video. It's called Never Give Up. This is a song, Never Give Up, because he's always there. Never give up every time, any time, anywhere. God is always with us. I'm going to let you watch it, and then we're going to sing it, and we're going to dance it together, okay? No, you probably don't need to practice. Stand up. Oh, you guys are so good. Meryl, your church is wonderful. Turn around. And jump up and down. remember it. Never give up. All right, let's do the whole thing. Turn around.
It's always
dancing. Meryl really wants to go. She's still going. You go, girl. All right, everybody have a seat. Thank you so much for having me and my family here today. Wherever, you know, whenever we visit another church, which is really rare, we like to stick a turning point. We're a bit of homebodies. But whenever we do get a chance to come out, it's so lovely to know there's brothers and sisters all over the world. We don't know you all by name, but we all know you by spirit. Like, we're brothers and sisters in Christ and we feel that. So thank you for making us feel at home today. And let me just close in prayer and bless you. And may God develop the resilience to make it through life's challenges, whatever's ahead of you. And as the word of God says in Psalm 84, it says to us, you know, even when we walk through the valley of death, we make it a place of rains and springs. We bring the rains and the springs by God's grace and his life that's in us. So may that be your life's testimony. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, which is always so encouraging and life-giving. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for doing what you did, giving up your life so that we could be free and so that we can live, Lord God, without any fear of separation from you. We just have that freedom to come into your presence with confidence, with our eyes looking straight to you. Lord God, do give us the strength, the resilience, the tenacity to take life's challenges head on, Lord God. And as, you know, when the things get tough, just to get tougher, Lord God, and to make our trust go deeper in you and keep our eyes focused on you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you promise that you will always be with us so we can give up, never give up, knowing that you will always be with us. Everyone say amen. Thank you.